Well, let's get started. It's our last night in Colossians. We still have next week with Philemon. But it's our last night in Colossians. And I was telling Matt earlier, I was like, I don't know. I was like, this section's like just a bunch of weird names.
I was like,
it's still God's word.
I
know. And when I read it in a minute, I'm going to have to be like, I was out of town this week, and so I was like Googling in my hotel room, like, how do you say?
Well, you know, an easy app, we can just pull up the Bible app
and let it read it to us. Let it read it to us. That's right. That's right. So we can do that. But, okay, let me pray, and then, then we can talk and get started. Let me pray real quick. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all that you've done for us, God. Thank you for protecting our children from accidents, God. Thank you for protecting us from things that we don't even know that you've protected us from, God. But we know that you provide and you are good and that you want good for us, God, and we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you so much for this time and these past several weeks that we've spent in Colossians, God. And as we kind of wrap up just the Colossians part tonight, we're just grateful for Paul and for the words that you gave him, God, and this message, these many messages that you gave him for the Colossian church, God. And I pray that they would be real and applicable for us in our own lives, God. And I pray that you would just meet with us tonight. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Okay. Like I said, tonight it's just like I told Matt, I feel like it's just like a bunch of verses with some dude's name in there. So, but yeah, what did y'all learn? I did not have as much time as I wanted to like go through and try to do like a deep dive into each one of these guys. Obviously the first thing when I first read it that stuck out to me, and I've read Colossians before, mm-hmm. of course, but like I was like, I forgot that there was another Jesus in the Bible.
I know.
When I first read it, I was like, what? We're in 4:7-18. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait, what? Yes. And Matt and I were giggling about that earlier because he was like, can you imagine that dude just being like, you know what? I'm just going to go by Justice. It's getting too confusing. Like, it's not even worth it at this point. So anyway, but what did y'all learn anything this week? Do you have questions about anything? Like I said, I didn't do a deep dive. I brought my commentary book that I've been using. So
wow.
I don't have it. We might can look it up.
I always use that ABS.
ESB. Yeah, it's great.
EBO.
Yes, all EBO. Yeah.
Anyway, and what there was a little note in there where it said that, you know, Demas is mentioned in here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he left.
Oh, okay.
He left Paul and went to, how did they put that? Let's see. Oh, I think I wrote about it. He went for, he left Paul for worldly pursuits.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so sad.
And so, and I read a commentary board saying that, because Paul was fixing to be executed.
Yep.
He was in there for execution at that time, you know, so he probably thought, well, it's just like, this is what it is, you know, this is what I'm living for, to be done, to die, you know, and so I guess it just, I just wrote a note, you know, how it's just so easy to get caught up in.
So 2 Timothy 4:10 says, for Demas, I don't know, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica.
Mm-hmm.
So he did.
But, you know, I thought, well, I guess what this reminded me of, all that, what Paul said and everything, is that when you put so much trust and faith in a man, you know, then you cannot have that relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
You lose that, you know, because it said, you know, that And one of the commentaries, you know, because Paul was going to be, he was in prison, you know, and he was going to die. So he's looking at him, you know, and like, I don't want to do this, you know.
I get it.
This is hard. Is this it? Is this what I do? You know?
Yeah.
So that just made me think about that. You know?
Yeah.
When you trust that in men, or, you know, you lose out because men will disappoint you and leave you and you know, never be true, you know. Like,
yeah.
Trusting.
He's mentioned again in Philemon, too.
Yeah. Hmm.
You know, Mark.
Verse 24.
There was a departure of Mark. On his missionary journey,
he mentioned that too. Thing because Mark's even in this verse, which I thought, "Wow, Mark's gonna come back."
I'm always like, "Is it the same one though? Which James are we talking about? Which John? Which
John
Mark?
Mark?
Which?" I'm always like, "Is it the same guy?"
I think it's the same because the commentary I read said he was the writer.
Yes.
So I did read something where he looked at, man, I hope I get this right, at Demas leaving, or Demas, or whatever
I
was there.
I can't remember.
You know, made him think, you know, that Mark, maybe he was wrong about Mark. You know, because Mark was really young, you know, when all that happened, and him and Barnabas didn't agree. So.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's fascinating.
But he gave him a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look up that NYPHA, better spell it right, because I put that in the internet and it came up with some.
Not great. Yes.
Porn.
No, it wasn't porn, but it was a. I guess it is porn, but it was a. Drag queen. That was her name.
That was her name.
I love that. I think it's Nympha.
Yeah.
Is what
IA or something.
Yes, I've written them all out last night on my guy. Of course, you know, I listen to this guy on YouTube, like, tell me how to say all this. So who even knows? I don't know. Who even knows? So, okay, anything else? Like I said, I wanted to do a little bit more of a deeper dive into all these guys, but that did not happen for me this week.
I think most of them were just, one of them, I can't remember which one it was, talked about he died as a martyr. That's what he wanted to remember one it was.
Yeah.
They were just faithful servants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm going to talk a little bit about tonight, is about not necessarily, like, these dudes and their biographies, but, like, what we can kind of learn by just the way Paul talks about them here, you know? And so, and what that should kind of, how that should encourage us, and how that should, how we should look at how we are to kind of view others as we're all kind of serving Christ together. So let's read it really quick. We'll see how many of these names that I can butcher, and then we'll go from there. Tychicus, yes, will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. I love that, don't you? If he comes, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. Not our Lord Jesus, but another Jesus. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you.
That's another thing, too. Somebody said something about when he wrote that, it seemed like he probably dictated a lot of his letters.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe he, you know, maybe he wasn't.
Maybe he couldn't write, yeah.
But I thought that was like, I'm Paul.
Oh, yeah. Well, he could write, yeah, because he says, I brought the screen with Paul.
Yeah,
so at least he could write, but.
But I mean, he could have been ill at times.
Yeah, that's right. That's
one
right.
One thing I read said that he, there had been some who tried to be him, wrote letters,
forgery,
and taught things that were not true.
Try to be popular.
And so he wanted them to be sure. You know, I don't know. I mean, from unless you had read multiple letters or seen his handwriting, I don't know how.
But surely there were copies, right? I mean, like, don't think there were copies of his letters? I don't know.
Well, I got the idea that they passed it around.
Passed that same letter around, yeah. But and I think Paul always kind of has this, like, he doesn't follow it to the T, but I think we've even studied some of the Colossians where we've said, like, oh, this is very Paul-like,
yeah,
you know, like, this is very Paul-esque. But that's fascinating. I had not heard that. That's fascinating. Yeah, so Paul is sending Tychicus so that, it says in verse 8, that he may encourage your hearts. And I love that because I think Paul, throughout this whole letter, has been, like, so encouraging to the Colossians, you know, and, like, reminded them to, like, love each other and encourage one another. And so he's saying, like, I'm sending Ty, that's what we're going to call him, sending Ty so that he can encourage you guys. And so his whole tone throughout the letter, but especially in these last, like, what is this, 11 verses-esque, it's, like, very, like, uplifting and motivating, and it's, like, a clear expression of love and support from Paul to the Colossians. And so Paul is, like, certainly very, like, pastoral here, right? You know, I had to talk to, I have to have a conversation tomorrow with my, basically, like, boss's boss. About something, and I talked to another guy on my team that is a boss, but he's not my boss, but we've been friends since we were in seminary. I had to call him today. I'm like, hey, I need you to, like, put your pastoral hat on real quick and talk me through, because it's hard for me to, like, talk to Matt about those things because he doesn't have an entire context, you know, of, like, work like Devin does. And so Devin's got work. And so I told Devin, I was like, I need you to be a little bit pastoral for me here. And so Paul is showing this, like, pastoral concern. You know, he's not their pastor, but he's showing this, like, love and concern and this love and support.
And he's never even been there.
Yeah, yeah. So he's, like, encouraging them and kind of giving them some context. So his instruction here is kind of to, like, propel the Colossians. And one commentary, I think it was this one that I read, was, like, he was giving them the inspiration they needed to kind of reject those false teachers that we've talked about a million times and to choose Christ. And so he's giving also in this section, because at the end we see, he says, remember my chains. He's telling them, like, hey, like, guys, don't forget, like, I'm in prison here, so don't forget that. And so he's providing an update to the Colossians on this situation while giving them, like, this word of exhortation and encouragement. And so we see this, like, selfless heart that Paul has for the Colossians and his sincere concern for them. And it kind of gives them this invitation to join him, like throughout the letter, not even just in these verses, but to kind of join him in suffering while also assuring them of Christ's faithfulness, which I think is just lovely. So, but I think the thing that I kind of am like zeroed in here was like, in addition to all these things that Paul's doing for the Colossians, like he is showing us, like, you know, the four or five of us in this room, members of the body of Christ, that we're called to like cooperate and collaborate with each other, just like all these dudes whose names that I can't pronounce are doing, right? And so we're called to cooperate and collaborate as we serve Jesus. And so three quick things. The first thing being we should enlist others to serve Christ. So look at verses 7-9. It says, Tychicus will tell you about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will tell you of everything that has taken place here. So Paul is talking about two people here, Ty and Onesimus. And he is showing here the importance of our responsibility to enlist others to serve Christ. And so a couple of things that I read, that I did read about Ty, was that he was from Asia. And I'm sure since y'all probably read all these things too. But he was from Asia and he went with Paul on Paul's third missionary journey. So he knew Paul. So he had spent a lot of time with Paul, especially when Paul was imprisoned in Rome. And so Paul obviously here describes him. He says he's a beloved brother, a faithful minister. So they have this like familial relationship with each other. And he shows that Ty had a purpose that was beyond just like carrying this letter back to the Colossians, you know. But he had a servant heart that was evident to the Colossians. And Paul was telling the Colossians, hey, this dude is a faithful minister. Like, you can trust him. And so, and then also, along with Ty, there's Onesimus. And he, from what I read, previously lived in Colossae and went with Ty to deliver the letter. And so, it's really significant, because we all know about Onesimus, right? So, it's really significant that Paul mentions him, because he used to be a bond slave. Right? And he was a former servant of Philemon, which obviously we'll get into that next week. And he met Paul in prison and became a follower of Christ. And so Paul has this relationship with Onesimus too. And so, but Paul doesn't here focus. He doesn't even say in these verses, like, Onesimus, hey, he used to be a bondservant. He just says he's a faithful and beloved brother. And so we've talked about this a bunch too, about how Paul loves to, like, give dignity and remind us that we're all like important, you know, important in God's church and important in God's eyes. And so he's doing this here too. And so Onesimus had this new identity in Christ that allowed him to minister as a servant for Christ. And so this letter, and like in many ways the whole book of Colossians, of course, but these verses kind of give us this manual for discipleship and shows us how Paul had met all these people previously and now they were going out and doing ministry, right? They were doing the Lord's work. And so his goal was to emphasize this, the practical implications of living under the Lordship of Christ and living in discipleship. And so Paul is sending Onesimus and Ty to the Colossians and encouraging them to enlist others to be ministers for Christ as well. But they weren't only ministers, but which is huge, but they were also messengers. They were bringing the letter, right? They took the letter from Paul back to the Colossian church. And so they were kind of Paul's like personal representatives. Like, they represented Paul. And so, which also means that they represented Jesus, you know, in this important work of bringing this letter back. And they carried this good news to these individuals and to this early church, especially Colossians, who most likely very desperately needed encouragement and needed to hear the truth again. Because we think about how often we hear the good news, you know, and we hear the truth. And we could probably all throw a rock in our house and hit a Bible or a Christian book or a phone that can give us a Bible or a Christian book, you know. And so, but these people were not like that. And so it was very important what they were doing as messengers to bring this letter to this church. And they were on this, like, mission, you know, that God had sent them on through Paul. But second, in verses 10 through 14, not only should we enlist others to serve Christ, but we should encourage others to serve Christ. So we all need a little encouragement every now and then, right? So verses 10 through 14 says this, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. So Paul is supporting the Colossians, obviously, through this letter, through encouragement. And so we're to support each other also. And so I've talked about this at length, but Paul is writing this letter with, like, this really, like, encouraging tone. And he kind of concludes it by listing these six co-laborers for Christ. Three of these guys were Jews. No. I'm sorry. I just made up a number. Some of these, maybe it was three and three. I don't know. Some of these guys were Jews, and some of them were Gentiles. Right? Okay. So some combination of that. I feel like I did read three and three, but I don't want to say that. Is it three and three?
Yeah.
Okay. Three and three. Great. I'm not crazy. Three and three. So this, like, shows, again, I just said this a minute ago, but it shows, like, diversity. And Paul is showing, like, there's unity in the gospel. There used to be a separation, but now through Jesus and his blood, the divides have been removed, right? And we're one family in Christ. And Paul talks about this. And so Paul's, like, diversity and the diverse number of people that he shows here kind of demonstrates that we're all called to operate and support each other as one body. And we have to use that diversity for good. And we have to strengthen one another. So he describes the Colossians' responsibility to strengthen one another as he kind of talks about Epaphras. And he says, like, Epaphras always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. So Epaphras was, like, praying for these people, you know, praying for the Colossians, and how comforting that must have been. And we know Epaphras was mentioned previously in chapter 1, so we've talked about him before. So we know that he was a Colossian, but he was strengthening them through this work of prayer. And so he had this faith in God and this depth of love for the Colossians, because if we love somebody, we'll pray for them, right? You know, and so that's what he was doing. And so there was this, like, physical... hang on, I just got a text from Lydia. Oh, no, just kidding. Not an emergency. There was this, like, physical labor that Epaphras was also doing. He was probably, I read, likely instrumental in establishing several other congregations, and probably continued to have some level of pastoral oversight over each of those congregations. So this dude was probably pretty busy. You know, you can imagine what it's like. I've never been part of a church plant, but I can imagine that there's a lot to do. You know, so he was probably very busy. So, but he was praying for those people, and Paul didn't neglect to mention that. And so as we kind of strengthen one another, we have to rely on Christ, and allow our care for others and for Christ Church to be, like, a true labor of love, that Christ strengthens us for. And of course, the power of the gospel and the glory of Christ is what gives us that motivation for our sacrifice. So we remember that as well. And so finally, not only should we enlist others to serve Christ, and we should encourage others to serve Christ, but we have to empower others to serve Christ. So look at verses 15 through 18, the very last three verses, four verses. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and to the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, you know, like, don't just stick it in the drawer, read it. Have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see also that you read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you've received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains, grace be with you. And so Paul was telling the Colossians, like, enlist others to serve Christ, encourage others to serve Christ, but empower others to serve Christ. So Paul is modeling for all believers this importance of empowering others to serve Christ. And so in verses 15 and 16 specifically, he is kind of fostering fostering cooperation between these congregations, right? These brothers at the Laodicea and these other churches. And so he's saying, like, hey, after y'all read this letter, pass it on, you know, because they probably need to hear it too. And so there was this collective need for mutual support and encouragement, and Paul was kind of trying to foster this. But y'all, I just thought about this, like, Paul's in prison, and, like, you know, he feels, like, so helpless, right? He's like, I'm stuck here in these chains. And so the Lord, you know, divinely inspires him to write these letters, you know? And I don't know if Paul knew when he was writing them how saying they're impactful seems like a very understated way to say it, but, like, how impactful these letters are. But I'm sure he just felt this, like, super intense sense of, like, helplessness. Like, I can't even, you know, he's like, all I can do in here is pray and write letters. You know, I can't even, like, go and see these people and encourage them. And so, but he's showing them, he's trying to foster this cooperation, and he's showing them love and praying for them and encouraging them as best he could, and it's so earnestly in that. Man, what a blessing. But these early churches really needed their individual members to be faithful to the ministry of their church. And so this network of churches that was kind of growing when these churches were kind of popping up had to be super vital for the gospel to grow, right? And so Paul's trying to kind of foster that cooperation and remind them that this gospel mission that they were just given is this global mission that they're kind of helping to start the small spark that would eventually grow. He was trying to show them, hey, this is bigger than just you. It's bigger than just individuals. It's bigger than even just the body of people that go to the Colossian church. There's other churches out there. So let's communicate and cooperate together. And so Paul has put tons of emphasis in Colossians on this, like, corporate and universal body of believers. And so from these earliest verses, God's people were defined as a spiritual family, and Paul is constantly reminding them of that. And so as the church now, like in modern times, we are members of his body as well. And so we're called to dwell in unity under his leadership. On Sunday night, we had a thing for youth, and it was not just our youth here. It was, like, other youth, and, like, what a beautiful picture of, like, what Paul was saying here was our church on Sunday night, because it was so cool to see other, other young people. It sounds so old saying that, but other, like, young people here, you know what I'm saying? Like, just a really beautiful picture. I know, those nerds is what I call them. But as the church, we're called to dwell in unity under the leadership of Jesus Christ. And so our personal value and our worth as co-workers in this global purpose of furthering the kingdom empowers us to serve Christ by being faithful to the ministry of the church. And so in Paul's kind of final words here in verse 17 and 18, he's like, directing this admonition to Archippus that could be directed to all of us. And he says, pay attention to the ministry you've received in the Lord so that you can accomplish it. And so Archippus probably had a specific task that Paul was talking about, something that he was supposed to accomplish, right? We don't know what it is, but what he had received was ultimately the same role of service that all believers are assigned. We all have, like, some sort of assignment, some sort of gift to use in the church, some sort of task to do. And so we're called to serve Christ in some capacity, at some level, to further the gospel. And so Paul ends this letter by saying, we talked about this, remember my chains. And so Paul wanted to remind the Colossians here, hey, it might be hard. It just like some people looked at it and was like, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't offer that. I can't sacrifice that. And there are people that do that today. Like, I can't, you know, Christ calls them to give something up or to sacrifice something, and they can't, you know. But here Paul is saying, like, remember, you're probably going to be called at some point to suffer at some level, you know. But he wanted to empower them to remain faithful. And so their callings will probably be different. Not all of these people were arrested, not all of them were put in chains, not all of them went to prison. Some of them probably died very happy and healthy and, you know, okay. But they were, Paul empowered them to remain faithful to the gospel. And so, and to remember that at some level they would be called to suffer for Christ. And so Paul is telling us that his chains were a testimony of the depth of love he had for Jesus and for the Colossians. And so Paul had to sacrifice himself for this mission, which obviously was the reason that he was imprisoned. It was because of his belief in Jesus. But he recognized his suffering as a sacrifice that he willingly made on behalf of the church, for the good of the church. And so this phrase, remember my chains, would have served as an empowering reminder for the Colossians. And it should also serve as a powerful reminder to us, too. None of us are, you know, threatened with going to prison for our faith, thankfully, here in America. Some people are in other parts of the world, sadly. But we all have to, just like I mentioned, sacrifice some things and give some things. God calls us to sacrifice things all the time in order to fully devote ourselves to his kingdom, to furthering his kingdom. And I think the preeminence of Christ throughout the entire letter of Colossians points us to Jesus, who is the source of the strength. We've talked about this a ton too, our source of strength and energy that we need to fulfill the ministry of our calling. And so Christ continues to encourage and empower us to serve him as our ambassadors. And so we can adopt this kind of same approach as the investment we can make in the lives of others that ultimately serves to build God's kingdom. And so I think Paul is telling us throughout this whole letter that the church is worth it, that Jesus is worth it, that individual believers that make up the body of Christ are worth it, and that we should lay our lives down for the furtherance of his kingdom and for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that's kind of what I've learned, and that's kind of the overarching theme of encourage each other, like take care of each other, you know, because we're all one body. And so, so that kind of closes out Colossians. Which is crazy that we've gone through the whole book together. We still, like I said, we still have Philemon next week, and we'll do all of Philemon next week, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So it's all one thing next week because there's just 25 verses. But anything else from all of Colossians? Anything at all? It's just like such an encouraging book to me. Like, Paul could have been, like, really pessimistic, I feel like, because he was in jail, you know? But he wasn't. He wasn't, you know? He felt like, yeah, this is, y'all just don't do what I did. Stay out of jail.
Was this Archippus? Is that how you say it? Was he just a Colossian? Or a
Let's see. At the very end.
Yeah, 17.
Archippus. Archippus is what my guy on YouTube told me last night. Let me see if I have anything about him.
Well, they say.
I didn't.
Singled him out for something.
Yeah, they did. They did. Let's see if it said anything about where he was. He's identified as a fellow soldier, and he's the recipient of the letter to Philemon, but there is no other textual evidence that indicates the specific nature of his calling. And I know I said that there was a probably specific task. That's all this one really says about him. It doesn't say much about his background or anything.
It says that the church at Laodicea had written Paul a letter, right?
Yes.
And say that you also read the letter from Laodicea. Somewhere I read that, I think, that letter was the basis for the writing of Colossians.
Oh, okay. There was like one before.
Well, Paul is telling them to take it to the church at Laodicea.
Mm-hmm.
But he's saying, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. So they had written Paul, yes, telling what has happened there.
Yeah.
Since he ministered there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But isn't the church at Laodicea the lukewarm church in Revelation?
Isn't it?
I think
so. Is that right?
I think so.
Didn't well for them. Did it? Of course, we all know, you hear stories all the time about churches that kind of change course, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is sad. But yeah, no, that's, you're exactly right. Okay, well, next week is the last week of training you. So we'll do Philemon next week, the 7th, May 7th. And then I don't know what happens after that. I want to say not. I should know. Why? Because
don't they do some?
Do we do like a mini
corporate thing?
Something.
In the
do
summer.
Something. Yeah, because we don't meet in July. We just meet in June. So I don't know what.
There's so many activities.
I'm sure Matt
in the summer
doing
with
something.
The kids and that BBS.
I would not be surprised if Matt doesn't know what he's doing though yet. That surprised me at all. I'm getting being recorded, so if you're listening, you don't know what you're doing. But yeah, I think we normally do something. There will be something. I just don't know what it is. But we still have one more week, and so
possibly we'll be in the bulletin Sunday.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. What do you plan to training you? Like, so maybe he and Matt have got together on what is happening during the rest of May and in June. So. And I think there's a couple Wednesday nights that we, are there a couple Wednesday nights
during
we don't meet in June because of like BBS and then
mixed bag.
So there ends up only being like 2 weeks in June that we meet, I think. I'm not sure. Anyway, well, there'll be something. We'll have something. I will be teaching it though. So. But anyway. Okay, well, let me pray. And it's like 10:05, so y'all be done with our love and pray. God, thank you so much again for this day. Thank you for Paul, thank you for the body of Christ, Lord. Thank you for not just our church here at First Baptist, God, but the Big C Church that we're connected to all across the world, Lord. How vast, almost incomprehensible to us that we could even think how vast your church is, God. But we thank you so much that you had the idea that the church would even exist, Lord, that you knew that we would need each other. You knew that we would need encouragement and that we would need those relationships, God. And so we praise you for that. And we praise you that your son is the head of the Big C Church, God. And we thank you so much for his death, and his life and his resurrection, God, and for the blood that was shed, for the sins that we could not pay for, God. But you sent him to die in our place, and we thank you for that. God, thank you so much for this time together tonight, and I pray that you would just keep us safe. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.